As was read earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, gives us this information. Prepare your minds for action. Some of us take different approaches to preparing our minds in the morning. Some of us need to be caffeinated before our minds are prepared for anything. But preparing your mind for action, as we put, there it is, okay, here we go. Let's make sure we're all on the same page here. Preparing your mind for action. What does that mean? What does it mean to get ready for something? If you've played a sport, if you've played an instrument, if you've done anything that requires preparation, you mentally have to get prepared, right? And it helps if you are ready for that event. Romans chapter 12 talks about this very similarly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, maybe a passage you've read before. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you come into a renewing of being a new creature in Christ, as we talked about a little bit this morning, we need to also renew our minds, a new way of thinking, right? Things that we considered to be the truth maybe before were not the case anymore. And when we come to follow Christ, we need to renew our minds. So this evening, we're going to look at something maybe a little bit different as we look at being prepared. There's a guy by the name of Cade Courtley. You probably don't recognize him, especially in that picture. But Cade Courtley was a Navy SEAL, and he became a TV personality. He wrote a book, SEAL Survival, How to Survive Any Situation. And he promoted this concept of using the mind and being ready. And he says at one point in his book, the brain is the strongest muscle in the body. You've heard stories of how combat soldiers have had been shot repeatedly, but were not aware of it until the fight was over. But he said these stories are true. And the power to do such of these things comes from the mind and can be tapped into by practicing mental preparation. And this practice, as he says, I'd like to highlight, this practice can allow you to far exceed your physical limitations. And there is some truth to this, some studies in relationship to the power of the mind in overcoming certain situations. He goes on to talk about situational awareness. He says, in military speak, situational awareness is defined as the ability to identify and process and comprehend critical elements of information about what's going on or happening around you to the team in regard to a mission. He says, more simply, being aware of what is going on around you as we highlight this concept. Because I know the importance of situational awareness during battle, I must admit, he says, I get annoyed by the vast number of people who go out about their lives without paying even the faintest attention to where they are or what's happening around them. He says it puts them and the general security of society at risk. He says, as he highlights this, these are the very people who most often get victimized or end up on a casualty list. I don't know if you agree with him. Maybe you've seen people. There were some videos going around for a little while of this girl walking down a street on her cell phone, and she fell into a manhole. That's the very definition of situational awareness. Have you seen that? Anybody? Has anybody seen anybody on a cell phone that wasn't paying attention to what's going on? Anybody? Has that happened? Okay. They are not very aware of what's going on around them. And because of these concepts of situational awareness, he goes on to talk about a checklist, a situational awareness checklist. And so this is a PSA announcement about your situational preparedness. I'm not sure where you guys are in that. But number one, he says, try to guess what individuals around you are thinking or doing, which I usually do that on a regular basis, right? I don't know about you, but it's called people watching. but you try and be aware of what's happening, right? Number two, he says, look for odd behavior or things that seem out of place. If in South Florida you see somebody wearing a parka, it's probably 65 degrees outside. So that's it's a native Floridian and they're cold. Normally, if it's a warm, sunny day, you're not going to see somebody in a parka or a trench coat, right, in Florida? That's not normal behavior. So be aware of these kind of things. Somebody loitering outside an ATM, as you walk up to the ATM, you might want to pay attention to what they're doing. He says, number three, determine where you'd go if you had to seek immediate cover from an explosion or a gunshot. I've been door knocking in a place one time, and we had to stop door knocking because of gunshots. So you just never know. You don't have to be in some far-flung Navy SEAL situation in order for this to be the case sometimes. So you need to be careful. Be ready, kind of prepared mentally what you're going to do. He says, find the two closest exits to yourself. So right now, look around. Where's your closest exit? This actually goes outside. It says exit. I wonder if you went out that door, how many of you would know how to get back to the parking lot? Any of you? Know your exits. When you get onto a plane and they go through the rigmarole, here's how you put on your seatbelt, which, how many of you get annoyed by that? I know how to put on a seatbelt, really, honestly. And if you're plummeting out of the air in a pressurized tube from 40,000 feet up in the sea, I don't think this is going to save my life. But anyway. But what do they tell you, right? What do they tell you? They tell you, find your nearest exit, just in case you make a nice swooping landing on the water and the flotation devices actually work and you get to, calmly walk out of the exits, right? In that situation, probably not, but they make you feel good about it. So find your exits, right? And then determine whether someone is following you or taking an unusual interest in you, which for some of you may be paranoid about this anyway. Some of you are saying, well, everybody has interest in me. Why shouldn't they? But determine what's going on around you. Just be aware, right? If you see the movies. I'm sure you've seen the movies where you're walking and you hear the footsteps. Then you stop and you don't hear the footsteps. And then you walk a few more footsteps and you hear them. What do? Like, they just start running for some. Determine what's going on. Maybe they just, you dropped your cell phone or something. But determine what's going on so you know what's happening. And so he gives us this checklist. And as I was reading this checklist, I thought, you know what? These actually make, I can find Bible passages for these. Maybe we need to be ready for spiritual survival. Have you ever thought about that? Am I spiritually aware of what's going on? It is so easy just to get caught up in life and just to go through your day-to-day, right? You have your pre-programmed wake up in the morning, do your normal routine, do this thing, go to work, come home, take care of the kids. Whatever your routine is, you have it. And it's so easy to get caught in that you don't know what's going on around you spiritually, right? And here you are a month later, and you said, well, I was planning on reading the Bible more often, or I was planning on praying more often, and I just got caught up in just the day-to-day, and I wasn't aware spiritually of what's going on. Or how many people have ended up in a situation where, you're in sin, and you're wondering, how did I get here? How did I arrive at the point where I am so far away from what I initially said I was going to do? When I became a Christian, I pledged my life to Christ. I was going to serve Him. And now I don't even see Jesus in my life at all. How did I get here? I'd like to tell you that there are some things we can do to be aware, to help out with our spiritual awareness. Number one, look at others around you. What are they doing? What are they doing? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Is it wrong to imitate people who are doing the right thing? That works, right? Paul even says, be imitators of me, just as I also am imitating Christ. Is if I am imitating Christ, others can imitate what I'm doing, and we all get to the same result. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. We were people who could be trustworthy, and we could have been people that you can follow. And so as we think about, number one, look at those what others around you are doing, and consider their conduct, and do the very same thing. Number two, look for things that seem out of place. But you got to be ready to do that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So how am I going to know if something's out of place if I've never practiced to discern what's right and what's wrong? There's people who are like, well, I'm going to study these things. I'm going to study what's wrong with the world so that I will be prepared for everything. Well, that's all well and good, and more power to you, but what if we just study the Bible and then compare everything to that? Maybe that would be a little bit easier. Here's one thing I can study. Instead of studying all there is out there, instead of knowing all the philosophies of men, if I study just the Word of God and get that into my heart, will I be prepared to determine what is good and what is evil? The Bible says yes, you will be sufficiently prepared. Number three, determine where you'd go if you had to seek immediate help. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We need each other. I've said it before, and I'll say it over and over again. Being a Christian is not a Lone Ranger expedition. All right? This is not single-player mode campaign kind of thing. All right? When you are a Christian, we help each other. We work together in this thing and going to heaven together. And so we need other people around us. Because there's days that, hey, I'm going to be good. But there's days where I'm going to need some help. Proverbs also, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." It's one thing to know where to ask for help. It's another thing to ask for help. It's one thing to know where I need to find help, but it's another thing sometimes to ask. I know that you guys care for me, and likewise, I care for you guys, but sometimes it's hard to ask for help. Because in asking for help, what are we essentially saying? I'm deficient in some area, right? I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing in some area, and I need help in area X. And sometimes there's this sense of guilt. Sometimes there's a sense of, well, I can't show that side of my... I've got to be, you know, you come in the front door and everything's fine, there's no problems, and you know, you gotta show that. So in asking for help, I have to be vulnerable in saying I need help. But the Bible over and over again says there is wisdom in asking for help, going to those who have fought the battles before you. There are untold years of wisdom sitting in these pews that we can ask for help. How did you deal with X? How did you deal with this situation? Help me here. We need to rely on each other for that. We need to get self out of the way and realize that we're here to help each other in that aspect. And the Proverbs tell us, a wise man will ask for that and will increase in learning. Number four, find a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it," to bear up underneath whatever that God is preparing you for the next thing coming down the pike. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But we have to look for that way of escape. We have to look for it. And sometimes you just have to flat out run. Joseph would say, "I just ran. I just ran. You know, that Bible character in Genesis? You know, sometimes we just need to run from a situation as fast as you can. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard it." How can you escape? If you neglect what is given to us, if we neglect the way of escape, that is, the salvation that God has provided, there is no escape. God's provided very, very plainly the way of salvation. And lastly, determine whether you are someone others could follow. Likewise, in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. "Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." Likewise, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving a full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him to eternal life." Paul is being very, very vulnerable here in this passage, isn't he? What is he saying about himself in relationship to sin? Here's a man who persecuted the church. Here's a man who is now a brother in Christ with people who maybe he killed some of their relatives in his zeal to serve God. We are to show ourselves to be example in all good deeds, purity, doctrine, dignified and sound speech, but also be an example. And he says, I was example in the mercy of God, and that I found patience, his perfect patience, as an example for those who believe in him into eternal life. And so we need to make sure that we are being example, determine whether or not we individually are somebody that somebody else could follow. I don't know if you guys watch, oh man, I went blank on the actual name. So Peter Pan, you probably have your own version of Peter Pan that you like. There was a version of Peter Pan where, you know, at the end, Peter is saying goodbye to all the little boys, and he's talking about how they all basically look up to the one that's bigger to them. And the littlest kid, he said, well, who am I supposed to look after? And he said, fairy bugs, the little ones. But there is always somebody smaller than you that's looking up to you, right? These guys have guys who are looking up to them, the junior high. The junior high look up to the senior high most days. And the senior higher look up to some of you. Some of you look up to some of them in stature maybe. But do you understand what I'm saying? We need to make sure that we are people who can be examples to other people. Help us keep each other in check in that way. So spiritual awareness checklist. Look out. Look at what others around you are doing. Make sure that what we're doing is good. The second one, look for things that seem out of place. But we got to make sure that we are studying in the Scripture so we can determine whether or not things are out of place. Determine where you'd go if you had to seek immediate help. Who is going to be your anchor? Who's going to be helping you in this endeavor? Find a way of escape that God has provided, and sometimes just run. Just run. If it looks bad, it probably is. If it feels wrong, it probably is. You need to run from it. And number five, determine whether you are someone others could follow. So as we think about preparing our minds for action, we return to 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought about at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tonight, you have a choice to make. Tonight, if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you have not been baptized into Christ Jesus, you are outside of this grace that is spoken of here. If you would like to prepare your mind for action and would like to come forward and confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you believe that He is the Son of God, having faith, repent of the life that you've lived before, and put Christ on a baptism, you can do that tonight. You can completely turn your life around and follow Him and be ready, be armed for the fight that's in front of you, to be spiritually aware of what's going on, because it is a spiritual battle, and we're in it, whether you realize it or not. So if you'd like to come and fix your hope on Him, you have that opportunity tonight. If you need to come forward, please come now as you stand and as we sing.